The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. This is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John the Baptist appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He fed on locusts and wild honey. This is what he proclaimed: "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. It takes a lot of faith to believe in today's scriptures readings. I think it took a lot of faith to believe them when they were first uttered 2,000 years ago. I think also today it takes a lot of faith to believe in them, especially in these days of these unprecedented, violent California fires. Do these ancient scripture readings have anything to say to you and me today? I think so. Take a look again at the first reading. "Comfort, give comfort to my people," says the Lord. Isaiah was speaking to the people of Jerusalem, telling them that your sufferings are coming to an end. I wonder if the people of Jerusalem believed him as they looked around and saw the destruction in their city, or had been in exile for 50 years, longing to get home and thinking they never would? Were they persuaded to run out into the desert and build a freeway for the exiles to return just because Isaiah promised it would happen? Or that God with power would come like a shepherd to carry them in his arms? Or were the Christians of Peter's time wondering whether the second coming would ever come, as they thought it was going to come immediately? Were they persuaded by the words, "With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day"? Or when he warned that the day would come like a thief, and the heavens would be dissolved in flames, and the elements melted by fire, did they believe him and change their lives? Those figures about the fire seem more appropriate to our times today. Or how many believed John the Baptist when he called, like Isaiah, for the people to repent and prepare for the coming of the Lord? The gospel says the people were coming from all over the countryside to him. But did they really repent? Or were they just scared out of their sandals by the threat of a coming judgment? Right now, thousands of years later, I don't think it really makes much difference whether those people believed or not. What I think makes a big difference is whether you and I believe the scripture words today. All of our problems throughout the world are worrisome enough and challenge to our faith in God's power and his presence among us. But I think these last days of the California fires present some special challenges for your faith and mine. What comfort, for instance, can we give using Isaiah's words, "Give comfort to my people," to those hundreds who have lost their homes and to those thousands who are evacuated and uncertain about the fate of their homes. What comfort can we give to the heartbroken and helpless woman I saw on TV the other night crying when she said, "My house is on fire. My house is on fire." And repeat that 400 or 500 times. Or to the 80-year-old John Wilson of Ojai, uncertain about the fate of his house that he had lived in for 30 years, saying, "Having no idea what's going to happen next is a brand new experience for me." And it would be for all of us too, I think. Those voices have been echoed hundreds of times. So does our faith come to play here? Is God coming to these people like a shepherd to carry them in his arms the way Isaiah promised, or the way Peter promised, or the way John the Baptist promised? I think so, if we recognize how with faith. This is how I think God is bringing comfort to his people. In little ways, for instance, like the other night, TV news showed two little girls named Haley and Hannah Thompson delivering homemade ham and turkey and cheese and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to the tired firefighters, and they gobbled them up. You could call it comfort food. Or in bigger ways, think of the thousands of firefighters who are risking their lives to save the homes and the dreams of others, and some of them have lost their own homes to the flames. You've probably heard about the deaths of about 70 horses, some of them thoroughbreds, lost in the fires. But I saw a newscast the other night about how people are harboring about 850 horses over in Del Mar, rescued by, in the quotes of the reporter, "an army of volunteers," she said. And in many places, closed schools become depositories of food and clothing and other gifts for the firefighters and those who have been evacuated. Quote, "galvanized in an instant to help," the reporter said, whose final words were, "people may still worry about the raging inferno, but at least they know their community won't hesitate to help." We'll be hearing countless stories like that in the days ahead, and I think that is the answer to our question. Can we believe? Can we put any faith in today's scriptures? The answer is yes. God is still comforting the people, still coming to save us, but not with miracles, unless you call the generosity and the unselfishness and the care and the volunteering of so many people a miracle. I think that is really how our faith happens today. We believe by making God's promises come true. The way we show we believe is by making it happen. When we do unselfish and generous and even heroic things to help others, especially those in dire need, we make God's promises come true. So I think when God said to Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people," God wasn't just talking to Isaiah. God was talking to you and me. Amen.